Right. So the pill bottle is open. The back door is open.
I have chills.
And it's cold. I know.
I can't. I don't know what to make of this.
Michelle was like, oh my God, Allison's alive? Welcome to the penultimate. Damn it.
The penultimate of Pretty Little Liars Season 2.
Hi, Season Liz. 2.
Wow.
Hi, Michelle.
Wow.
Michelle, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Is your heart rate lowered?
I'd be curious to see my stats on my watch.
We should look.
We watched this episode in the dark. I grabbed Liz twice. I screamed.
She squealed. She was scared.
I can't believe I literally screamed. Well, three times I screamed, but I grabbed you twice.
Yeah, she really, I felt her cold, cold hands on me.
I am an ice queen.
Ice queen.
Wow.
As I teased it a bit that it was a creepy episode, but I don't think I realized how creepy it would be for someone first watching. For me, obviously, I've seen this quite a number of times.
Yeah.
And forever burned into my brain, as well as some other stuff we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But we're discussing If These Dolls Could Talk, apropos for the episode, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Season 2, Episode 24, aired March 12th, 2012. Written by Oliver Goldstick and Maya Goldsmith. Directed by Ron Lagomarsino. I didn't realize that Goldstick and Goldsmith.
That's cute.
That's cute, that little writing team.
Yeah.
So the summary, the hunt for answers about what Allie knew leads Aria, Emily, Hannah, and Spencer to a rundown doll hospital that holds more than just secrets. Mike had just teased us here in the beginning. He wants to know, is Michelle okay? Would she have actually walked in? How much money would it take for you to actually walk into this doll hospital?
Which time? The first time or the second time?
Anytime.
The first time seeing the child in the window.
Shh. I remembered it happened, but I didn't remember exactly how far into the episode. And she was not prepared, neither was I.
I would go in if I was with my friends, behind them. If we're going in as a group, the second time around, I don't. No, I'm not just walking in to a doll shop that has no lights on. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I don't blame you.
Thank you.
It was just, yeah, it's very creepy.
I think baby Seth looks like Chucky in human form.
I wonder if that's what they were going for.
Like the eyes, that image is burned into my brain. I hope I don't think about this tonight when I'm going to sleep.
I hope you don't either. I hope you have happy dreams.
I'm going to have to watch a lot of Taxi.
Yeah, watch a lot of comedy to get you your mind at ease.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to start with that. I want to talk about the thing we want to talk about, which is Jenna effing Marshall.
Queen
Miss Jenna Marshall. She's going to take off her own bandages.
Can you express how this is a giant no-no? Liz was screaming at this, not at the doll stuff, but this is what Liz was screaming at because Liz works for an ophthalmologist. Is that right? Ophthalmologist?
Yeah, an ophthalmologist. So to me, we don't deal with a lot of, she's supposed to have a corneal transplant. In my office, we don't deal with a lot of corneal transplants. However, we deal with bandages. You don't take off your own bandage. First of all, Toby's like, your doctor's appointment's later. Can't you just wait? And she's like, no, I'm so excited.
And she's like, I know how to remove a bandage.
She's like, and I'm like, bacteria.
You were screaming that.
Your hands are dirty. What are you doing? Anyway, I was yelling.
Yeah.
But she does remove the bandage and she starts to cry. And Toby, I don't know how he knows, but he just knows in his heart she can't see. She never said anything.
I know, but I took that as, oh my God, I can see.
Well, you did.
And you led me down the direction of Toby, which I get. And that's
obviously I didn't want to give you anything.
Right. And I was like, why is he thinking that? And of course, the music that they're playing makes us think that she can't see and it didn't work. But my automatic reaction was, she can see, and that's why she's crying.
Right, like I'm able to get my sight back, or at least in one eye, right? She only had one eye done.
Right.
And Toby just says, "I'm so sorry." And she doesn't comment. She Mm-mm. just sits there and she lets the tears roll down her face. Like she is emoting something, but it's not unclear as to what it is.
Right.
So you go the rest of the episode thinking that Jenna, the surgery didn't work and Jenna is still blind. So later on, she asks Toby to take her to see the girls at school. And the girls are like, okay, Jenna's not walking with a stick, but she is walking with Toby.
And she also has her bandage on.
Right. And she's also has sunglasses on. They're like, well, why is she still wearing her sunglasses? And then I have to chime in again. I'm like, first of all, we all should be wearing protective eye gear in the sun. They're outside. Second of all, she just had a corneal transplant. She should definitely be wearing sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Something to protect the eye from getting bacteria, dust, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. That's just...
You digress.
What do I know? What do I know? So Jenna goes up to the girls and she says the surgery did not work and she is sick of holding grudges. And she apologizes and said, look, like, we need to stop this. I'm sorry. And the girls are like, well, what actually are you sorry for? And she's like, just being, you know, hating you.
And holding a grudge.
Holding this grudge. And they're like kind of wanting more, like, okay, like, what did you do? How have you, like, you know, reacted
right.
these past couple of years to us blinding you
right.
in oh some God. Other way?
Us blinding you.
You know,
yeah.
With the help of Allison, the ringleader. So she says, well, to be honest, I'm not the one that you should be fearing. And she's like the one that basically, like, I was never the one that you should be fearing. And so the girls take that as Garrett or Melissa. And I'm like, wouldn't that be Allie? You know, Allie's the one you should have been fearing.
Oh, that's so interesting. See, I took it as someone else, Garrett or Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did not think she meant Allie by that.
Well, I mean, the girls do say, like, what does she mean by that?
Like, who is she talking about?
Who is she talking about? And of course, they go back and forth with Melissa, Garrett. And I think Spencer does maybe say something like, well, Allison. And, she, you know, Jenna walks away and she walks away with her cane, her stick.
She whips it out.
She whips it out.
Yeah.
And so now the girls are like, okay, we feel like we got somewhere, but now we're just as confused as ever, of course, because it's Pretty Little Liars. So in order to figure out what Jenna means, and which we'll get to later, the girls decide to track Allison's footsteps. But in the meantime, Jenna and Toby are at home and they're talking about how Garrett is parked outside. And Toby's like, he's so annoying. Like, what is happening here? And Jenna's like, who's outside? Like, she doesn't know that Garrett's there. And she tells Toby, look, I have actually something I think you should see. And she hands him a piece of paper and she claims she doesn't know what's on the paper, even though we saw it in the episode many moons ago. Garrett said, this is page 5 of the autopsy report.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And at that point, I'm like, I don't remember if he even gave her the real autopsy report.
I don't think we saw
it. We didn't see it. So in my head, I was like, oh, he probably didn't give her the real one. Right. But he did.
Right.
And now Jenna's been holding this secret and she pretends like she doesn't know what it is. And she tells Toby, well, this seems important. He's like, yeah, it's the page 5 autopsy from Allison's report. Like, this is, how do you have this? Who gave this to you? And she says, Garrett. She says, I think we should take it down to the police station.
The way she responded.
She is such a manipulative bitch in the best way.
I think the police should see this. I didn't know I had this.
She's just beautifully scheming this whole episode. And then.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why is Garrett outside of the house? Is it because he knows Jenna has this piece of paper? Like, is that because, you know, we'll get to where Garrett's at right now. But, like, is that the reason? Because he's concerned? Maybe that's why he's been so stalkerish, because he knows Jenna is holding on to this information.
Right. She ended it with him, but yet she still has stuff on him. I mean, she has stuff on everyone, I'm sure.
Right, but she also was involved, and I think she manipulated the situation with Garrett, but, like, it looks pretty bad because he's, you know.
He's on the force. Like, right. There would only be someone in right. power to have gotten this, and we know he did. We know he stole it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now she is using that to her advantage. And then if we can pull up an image, if you will, Michelle.
Absolutely.
My first image of the night. I have many images tonight. So if you're on YouTube, this is where you want to be. So what I loved was listener Kate had sent me these memes, if you will, mm-hmm. of the episode. And then imprinted on it, the Tortured Poets Department lyrics. So this one is Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, which is epic because we have in this photo the last scene of one of the last scenes of the episode where after Jenna's been scheming all day, she's like, I'm tired. I'm just going to take my makeup off. And there's this fly in the room and she swats the fly with perfect aim, revealing that she did, in fact, see it. And then she's checking out her eye in the mirror and she's making googly eyes. Like, and the music is just so beyond perfect. It's like that old timey and it just, it's epic. It's iconic. Iconic. Ooh. And
iconic.
Iconic. And this scene is forever burned in my brain. Wow. And I couldn't remember when it happens, but I was like, oh my God. The first time watching it, I just had to clap. I clapped to myself. I was like, yes, like this is Pretty Little Liars. So while this show has some ridiculous shit, it has some really cool shit too.
This was really good.
Michelle was laughing her ass off. She was like, this is amazing.
I was like, bow down, queen moment right here.
It's everything.
It was wow. I mean, I have a lot of questions following yeah. this. When the other one's going to get done, when she goes to the doctor's, obviously the doctor can see. The doctor, this might be right. a very dumb question, but you can't fake that you can't see, right? Or can you?
There's a lot of times in children when they are the part of the exam where it's called a refraction, Michelle knows it well, mm-hmm. where they bring you in and they tell you, you know, is it better one or two? And they check you for this glasses prescription. Back in the day, I have been taught that children kind of it's easy to pick out if a child is faking not being able to see or not being able to see well.
Oh, wow.
Don't ask me the details of how that is. I'm assuming it would be hard to fake it, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I don't know. I should ask.
Would be like a really
I'm
good
gonna
question.
Ask actually.
Yeah. Like could be the eye expert mm-hmm. on this show.
Exactly.
The other ones have a forensic true crime aspect. We have an actual eye doctor.
We have the facts.
We have the facts here. But like when she goes to get examined, unless she would come, I don't know if we go that far, unless she's like, oh my God, I actually just started to see and kind of fake it. Like, oh, her vision came to her in time.
Right. All right. So right off the bat here, I was going to save it for the end, but everyone obviously, every question submitted was, when do you think people are going to find out? Who's going to know first? You know, how is she going to go about this?
Yeah, I think she's going to keep it to herself for a little while. But like I said, it wouldn't be believable if she kept it to herself the entire time. Like, I just don't know how we would do that unless it's like entire soap opera thing.
Right. And also like Toby's the one who's been escorting her everywhere. Yeah, right. She pretends not to see still.
Right. Although now it would work in her advantage because Toby's being so nice to her. It seems like Toby's on her team. She would want to continue that. But I think Toby's probably the first one that will notice that she can actually see.
Do you think that she'll actually tell him that she can
see?
No,
I think he's going to notice and then question and then get mad. Like, why have you been doing XYZ when you've been able to see?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Ah.
Do we see her get her other eye done? Or you don't want to tell me that?
I truly don't remember when what happens.
Okay, no problem.
I remember some things with Jenna, but not another surgery.
Not like eye related.
To be honest.
Okay.
Right.
Nope.
Okay, so the bulk of the episode is mostly to do with Spencer because we open up the episode with Spencer having this vivid dream / sighting, not sure if Allison is in her living room. So she's sleeping on the couch and there she sees Allison who's rummaging through the bag.
We open with this.
We do. Actually, I think I have an image.
Oh, okay.
Number two. Well, me and my ghost, we had a hell of a time. And this is epic. So another image from Kate. So it's Spencer and Allison. And this is the sequence where Allie is rummaging through the bag of her old things and telling Spencer, like, I'm so happy that you guys are still like looking for me. Like, you're so warm. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that Jason was our brother. It sort of makes us sisters, which Mike in the chat was like, no, it doesn't. But yeah, that's not how it works. It's cute to have a, you know, this relationship, if you will. And she says to her, like, you're so warm. You're just not looking in the right, like, you need to look right in front of you and not like what's underneath. And alluding to Melissa, because Melissa is then in the house when Spencer wakes up and it's cold and the door is open and the pills have been opened, which Allison was touching her pills. Like, hey, it's a sleeping pill. I need that. Can I take one? And she's like,
I'm going to take some for the road.
Right. So the pill bottle is open. The back door is open.
I have chills.
And it's cold. I know.
Chills. I don't know what to make of this.
Michelle was like, oh my God, Allison's alive? Because it really, like, this first opening scene, more we get developed in the show,
yeah,
and the girls have these dreams, they get more and more vivid. Like,
yeah,
you know, Hannah's was, she was in the hospital and she was like not very lucid and she kind of could have potentially obviously been on some medication. And then Emily, who
felt like Dorothy.
Right. Yeah. She had this gas in her lungs and whatever. And then now Spencer's is like, it's very, it doesn't seem like it's fake. You know, no. It seems like Allison is there and with her.
Allison.
Like, she's not out of it.
Arya hasn't been visited yet, right?
No. And honestly, I got so many questions about this. Like, do you think Arya will have her moment? When do you think it will happen? What is the capacity as to what it will happen?
I actually don't think it's happening.
Arya won't have one.
No, because as much as Arya is involved, I feel like she's a little bit more removed. I don't know. I guess I take that back. Maybe I'm just thinking this particular episode because she wasn't involved with the doll stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, the girls seemed very much more at each other's throats with the whole Melissa thing. And
they were.
Arya's involved with Ezra. So yeah,
she's definitely the most distracted because of the Ezra situation.
Yeah.
Which, you know, next season that will change. Like, everyone has their, like, time in the back burner, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this just happens to be Arya.
So maybe next season Arya will be visited.
Okay. So season 3, Arya will get her vision of Allison.
Yeah.
Okay. So when Spencer wakes, we see Melissa, who is, you know, telling Spencer that basically, like, what's happening? It's cold in here. Like, what's going on? Spencer's like all freaked out. And then she mentions this dream to Emily, and Emily's like, yeah, I know the feeling. We really haven't slept well since Allison has been gone, and we won't sleep probably until we figure this out. And so then later, Spencer shows the girls that she came across on the magazine. Why do I keep calling it a magazine? Every week, magazine. It's a newspaper.
The classifieds.
In the classified section, Allie and A were going at it. They were having these like little conversations under the radar.
Which is so funny.
It's so funny. Like, people, I mean, in 2010, when people... Well, this is 2012 now, but like, what teenagers use the classifieds? Like, that's so funny to me.
I would be using like Craigslist. Remember, like, Miss Connections?
Yes,
those are so entertaining to read.
Craigslist, right? Yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah,
for the time. However, they do the classified ads, and then Spencer comes up with an address, which was the last one, which was the weekend that Allison went missing, Labor Day weekend, and it was to meet on Spruce Street, which the girls then realize is the Doll Hospital Street. So Jonah kind of led them on this good path, and then Allison is meeting up with A on Spruce Street. So they head to the doll repair shop, and Martha, the store owner, is there, and she really doesn't want to be asked any questions, and they ask her about this voodoo doll, burlap voodoo doll, and she's like, we don't sell that here. Someone left it here.
It's so weird that this doll shop in the window... It's just like a bunch of, is it just like leftover dolls, fragments, if they don't sell? And then there's just the one voodoo.
Right. And she's like, oh, we don't sell that here. It was left here by someone. I don't know anything about it. And the girls ask for receipts, you know, someone could look for who had purchased it. And she's obviously like, we don't sell it here, so we can't. But she's looking through I guess, receipts of maybe who could have been at the store. And then her son, grandson, to be determined who this little boy Seth is. But he comes in and he says, yeah, I recognize your friend, but she had dark hair when she came in here. So obviously we're talking about Vivian. And she was afraid of someone. And I knew someone was after her. And I told her, you know, she needs to stop looking because it's not safe. And they said, really, who was after her? Who did you see? And the woman's like, he didn't see anything. He sees things in his mind, things that could potentially have not happened yet. He's gifted. So this is like the first time, and it won't be the last time, but the first time we have this like supernatural element.
Okay, good, because I was going to ask about this.
Yeah.
This is like adds a whole new weird layer to the show.
Definitely. Yeah, so baby Seth, he's just... he's a psychic. He predicts the future. He sees the future. He sees things.
But does he? Because obviously A is involved with the doll shop. At what point was A involved?
Right. Did A reward him for lying?
Or knowing the information and pretending he's
right, pretending he could see it. Or maybe mislead them. So he had said that, you know, a couple was after her. They both had... I think he said the woman had dark hair.
Right.
And they referenced, was she blind? Did she wear glasses? And he said, no, she definitely could see. And so the girls were like, oh, maybe it was Melissa and Ian. Or maybe it was Garrett and Melissa or Garrett and Jenna. Like, they don't obviously know. And then he gives details about Allison's death, which is not in the newspaper. Nobody knows these facts about the dirt in the lungs.
That's where I'm like, how much is A involved? Because... If A got to this dollhouse shop or hospital first and was like, I'm going to reward you, give money to Martha and Lollipop to baby Seth, that means we are trusting Seth to do a really good acting job. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, if he like fed him. If
A right. What is he like, 8, 9?
But like, how do you know this kid can deliver? So then it's like, is the kid all knowing? And then after the fact.
Right. And then Martha also like, she's like, now, Seth. But also like, lets him go. Like, lets him spew his, what's, you know.
Right.
Coming to his mind at the time. She's a little weird too. She's off, you know. She's kooky. He's kooky for sure.
But again, were you paid off beforehand?
Right. Well, how much in advance did A know that the girls were going to go to this store?
Right.
Right. So the girls are creeped out AF. They're like, something is weird. And Arya's the only one kind of like, how are you guys believing it?
Right. A is.
They're like, he knew details that nobody knew.
Yeah. Arya's just brushing it off that he's just she's like a weird kid.
Yeah. She's brushing it off, which does that track? I guess it tracks for her. Is she a realist? I don't know. I feel like Spencer out of everyone would probably be the one to say that's, you know, false, fabricated.
Yeah, but I think at this point, you Spencer just found out who her brother is and her sister might be Allie's murderer. So,
right. Like the things you once knew have tricked you. Like you don't actually know anything at all. Right. So anything is possible.
That's right.
And plus with the day she had with the Allison sighting, like, you know, in her head, she's like, what do I believe?
Right.
What is real in my brain?
What is real?
Right. Yeah. So she gets home and she tells the girls now that I think we could consider Melissa because I never told you guys, but my parents hired a detective because they were worried that Melissa would do something to Allison. Also, Jason's my brother.
BT Dubs.
Jason's my brother. And JD. Allie knew that. And Melissa was telling me that she thinks our dad had something to do with Allison's death because Allie was blackmailing him. Mm-hmm. And the girl's like, wait, what? They're like so confused. Like, wait, Melissa's involved. Peter's involved. We don't know. And Allie is now dead because she knew too much.
Right.
Melissa then comes home and she's sensing that Spencer's acting really weird towards her. And she's trying to ask her about baby shower, thank yous and invitation addresses, or I should say thank you addresses. And Spencer's acting weird and cold. And Melissa's like, what's up with you? And Spencer just flat out shows her on her iPad that she has the NET video of
she's
Melissa
like,
coming
up,
in.
She's queued up, ready to go.
Queued up, ready to go. No screensaver, nothing, no password. Here's the video.
It was so weird.
Yeah. So Melissa defends herself naturally. She's like, I was looking for Ian. This means nothing, proves nothing, proves nothing about the other people that are also in the video. Everyone in the town wanted to see this girl go.
Valid.
You know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything. And Spencer says, well, you know, I think the police should see it. And Melissa's like, oh, you're going to blackmail me? I'm going to blackmail you. Like, the police also will have things on you then. Because I know things. I never asked, but I know things about you. Yeah,
like, she's seen videos of your friends.
Right.
So be careful.
Just be careful, Spence. Let's not make this a production.
What does Melissa have?
Mm-hmm. I mean, then Spencer has a talk with the girls. Like, maybe she has on tape the Jenna thing. Maybe Ian got that on tape.
Right.
And he was obsessed with Allison, so maybe he was following her around.
And then Garrett also could have it.
And then Garrett, right, a part of the NAT club.
Right.
Someone could have a video about it.
Right.
Or she's bluffing and she's just trying to scare her sister into not going to the cops about anything to do with her. So Hannah, more than anyone, is really like gung-ho. Melissa is A, and now we need to trap her. So they devise a plan on how to catch Melissa being A, where Caleb and Mona, it's extremely, extremely unclear as to what the plan is. I had to explain it to Michelle, and if I didn't see this three times, you have to kind of figure it out for yourself because nobody talks about the plan.
It's an odd way to go about this.
Yes, it is. And then Mona and Caleb have to pretend like they're cheating, like Caleb's cheating on Hannah, to see if Melissa will send a text or if A will send a text, which I'm like, first of all, and Kate had mentioned this too in her email, like, A is all knowing, all being. Right. You don't think A is also watching in the car? Like, that you're in the middle of the town.
Right.
So.
Also, how did you know Melissa was going to Speed Demon Express?
Well, they said that Emily followed her. So I guess maybe followed her from the Hastings to wherever she was going. Again, it's a very small town.
Imagine, like, if she was going to, like, Philly or something. Like, how far would we go for this?
So true. So true. Like, then, like, they had no idea.
Couldn't we have come up with another scheme to make Melissa text? Like, to me, Caleb and Mona making out, and you said this too while we were watching, why would Melissa give a damn?
They're 7 years younger. She doesn't really know Mona nor Caleb that we've ever seen.
Right. That's not Spencer's best friend.
Right. So why would she give a crap?
Does she even know who Caleb is?
Probably not. Like, so why would she care that these two teenagers are making out?
And it's dark. Would you even recognize
that? And now what gets me is, like, I mean, I guess they don't care enough, but, like, what if, like, people in school saw, or, like, you know, like, you're gonna, now there's gonna be a whole rumor that Caleb's this piece of, both Caleb and Mona are POS and ruining their friend's life.
Who came up with this plan?
It's unclear. Someone had said Mona came up with this plan. Maybe she just went a little smooch.
But also, it just feels like I'm unclear of who A is, but I also feel like Mona sets a lot of this up.
I know you
and
said that.
And
I
also feel, because Mona wants to be a part of the cool team, and she sends these messages that are signed A, but they're not actually from A. Mm-hmm. It's like faux A. She's faux A. Fake A.
Right.
Yeah. And this kind of felt that
way. I don't think they actually said it, but I feel like I read somewhere, like on Wiki or something, that like Mona devised this plan, but I'm like, they never did actually say that unless I was not paying attention. But we will talk a little bit more about what happens there. But to go back to Melissa, she sees, she makes a face, as we said, why would she care? And then they do get an A text about Mona and Caleb. And so now they're like, okay, it's definitely Melissa. And Spencer's like, well, hold on. Before we do anything, I need to get proof. We need to maybe show them the stuff that's in, like, Allison's bag. We don't know what to do. And they head down to the doll store to potentially show Seth a video to see if he can identify anyone in there as the people that were after Allison. So they go to the store and it's closed. However, it's open because Spencer kind of just pushes the door open, and it's dark unlocked in there. And then, but downstairs the light's on. So they're like, wait, maybe they were just here, or maybe they're still here. And you do see someone's little creepy face behind the mask in there too, which was very scary.
Yeah.
And so downstairs they find a box of the voodoo dolls, which she claimed she didn't sell. And then all of a sudden they're starting to hear this warped voice come from the cupboard. And they open it up and it's this doll looking like Allison, blood in dirt with a shovel. And she says, "Follow me, end up like me." Again, another thing burned into the PLL viewers' brains.
Deceased.
Michelle was bugging. Hated it.
And then the shop just starts falling in on them. So yeah, doll heads and doll pieces are falling on the girls. And the girls are like, "My laptop." And I have to grab the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So like this shop is destroyed.
Yeah.
Who is making the, it's like an earthquake was happening.
Yeah.
Who's like, controlling the shelves
falling? Right. The shelves are falling. Dolls are flying places. It was, you know, enough to scare them out of the store.
Yeah. And the lights go out.
Right. The lights go out and they think, okay, Martha's upstairs, but who? She's clearly not there. But someone's there tormenting the girls again.
Someone's there.
Yeah. And they go back finally to the Hastings this last time where they're like, okay, we're going to get the bag together. We're going to go to the cops. And then they hear Melissa and Garrett come downstairs. And Garrett at first is like, nobody's home, right? Melissa's like, I don't think so. Like, she wasn't really worried about it. And she also says to Garrett, like, don't worry about Spencer. I've been scaring her since we were kids. Like, she's not going to go to the police, even though she's like ready upstairs to go to the police.
Yeah.
And then they kiss, which Michelle was flabbergasted, which it's shocking because like how long has this been going on? Like what's happening with this situation? What do you think is happening here? How long have they been dating?
Yeah, I think they reconnected.
After Ian's death.
And I think maybe after Jenna and Garrett broke up, Garrett was down in the dumps. Melissa's pregnant. They've known each other for a while. And so late night talks in the car, and then it's like
one thing led to another.
I feel something. But and then maybe Garrett wasn't like the obsessive boyfriend. He's just like, oh my god, she has the page five,
right? Maybe he's like, okay, I gave this to her and now how am I gonna get it back,
right?
So I have to watch her, right? Closely.
So like all those other times where we're like, oh, Garrett's such a weirdo. I mean, he is a weirdo.
He is.
But he's like so obsessed with Jenna and the fact that they broke up. But he's like, no, actually, I need page five back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
At least this is age appropriate.
At least
if it's
at
real.
At least it's
if
age it's appropriate. Real. It seems to be.
Yeah, because why would, you know, they're just the two of them together. They wouldn't be faking that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We wouldn't be.
Right. Like, no one. It wasn't for a show mm-hmm. that we know. You know, maybe they knew that people were in the house. However, at that point, a knock on the door and it's the police. And they actually arrest Garrett. They make him give up his weapon and they arrest him for the murder of Allison De Laurentiis.
Which, again, I don't understand. Like, what did, even if Jenna had page five, right? Did she just give this information of like, oh, I know who actually killed Allison De Laurentiis, I was involved with Garrett. He made me hide this piece of paper and I'm blind. So I don't know what was actually on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like how? Well, yeah.
Britt had asked other listeners, said, do you think Garrett's arrest was solely on the missing five page or do we think that the police has more evidence on
him? Yeah, I guess more evidence too. And maybe because of the badge being found.
Right. But he did have a badge on.
I know.
So that's why I'm like, did A fabricate that? Did Jenna fabricate that somehow? Like, did someone make a fake of his badge and put it there? Again, I wouldn't have recognized that as his
badge. It's definitely his badge.
But that's what the wiki said. And like other people, like people who were writing in were like Garrett's badge. And I'm like, okay, so I guess I'm just stupid that knowing it's Garrett's badge. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. Vic wanted to know if you were surprised by this Melissa Garrett pairing.
Yeah.
I think we can say for sure.
Yeah, I squealed.
I don't remember how I felt the first time that I saw this back in the day.
But
I forgot that they kissed here.
I'm a very audible and expressive viewer.
She is.
So,
I mean, I love it because I'm just cackling away over here.
But with anything that I watch, I will hoot and holler with nobody around me. So when I'm very surprised by something, you hear me very surprised mm-hmm. by something.
Yeah.
So, yes, I.
She was very surprised.
I was very surprised.
I exclaimed. Safe to say.
Yes.
She was surprised. Okay, so now we're on to the rest of the liars I have the smallest little bullet point for Emily, but she does in this episode get a text from Maya.
Maya.
Who's pissed. Oh, Michelle's putting in air quotes.
Maya.
Maya is pissed that Emily told her parents about her whereabouts. Literally, that's where it goes. So that she really is just surrounded with this Melissa stuff and the rest of the doll hospital things.
Yeah.
So we don't really get much with her. And then we have Hannah in the morning. Ashley busts her for having Mona's cell phone, and she reprimands Mona coming in. Like, if you need Hannah, you know, you can just sleep over. So the girls do this make a weird sleepover plan.
This is very weird.
Because Hannah's like lying, like, oh, Mona needs me at 24/7. She's going through something. And Ashley's like, she should just sleep over then. Like, we don't need you calling. You're not allowed to have phone privileges. Caleb calls her.
I get that. It's just the whole orchestrating of this, like, sleepover.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, they are friends, so they could have a sleepover. But she didn't need to. I guess maybe to
keep up appearances.
Prove to her mom that
sure
she needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mona tells Hannah that she's getting texts from A. This time it's that Caleb and she wants to break up Caleb and Hannah. Wait. A wants Mona to break up Caleb and Hannah. It's like saying too many things.
But break up but only Caleb and Hannah. Mona got that text.
Only Mona got that text.
Right.
And weird that then Mona was used in this scheme to essentially break up Caleb and Hannah.
Right.
So it works in both ways. Like, Hannah is appeasing Mona is appeasing A. So many names. Mona is appeasing A by technically breaking up Hannah and Caleb, but also being involved in the A scheme, like the plan of catching A.
Right.
It's a lot.
I think this part is fake.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mona making up these text messages.
Is needing attention, showing like, oh, look, Hannah, look at what A sent me. And like, obviously I don't want that to happen, but also here's the scheme we'll do.
Right.
I'll make out with Caleb.
Right. Like, kill two birds with one stone. I wish we had like a little tiny deleted scene of this, because it doesn't make, like, it just doesn't make sense. We have to like make it make sense.
And again, Melissa wouldn't care about these two.
Again, Melissa would not care.
Yeah, this is really weird.
Right. So Mona then also has a discussion with Hannah, because Hannah just keeps saying too much in front of Mona. Like, oh, yeah. Jenna mm-hmm. and this and Jenna that. And she's like, wait, is Jenna A? Like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just saying too much. And then in order to trap A, we have Hannah enlist Caleb and Mona, who don't like each other, or I should say Caleb does not like Mona because of the letter scheme she did last season. And in order to catch Melissa, they have to be canoodling in the car, and then they're kissing, and then they keep kissing. Like, Mona keeps forcing him to kiss her.
Like, Caleb kisses her, and he pulls away.
He hates it. Like,
and she's like, come on, it's for Hannah.
Right, like, we need to do this. We need to make it believable. It's like, one kiss is enough. You also just, like, being close-faced could have been enough, too.
They could have just kind of, like, snuggled in each other's necks, and that would have been enough.
It would have been enough. It would have been enough.
What did you think about Mona telling her backstory to Caleb, though?
Right. Like, well, yeah, I think she's just like, I want to clear the air. Like, but also I know you don't like me.
Messing with things.
Hmm.
I love Mona. I really do get a kick out of her, and she's very entertaining, but I don't trust her at all.
Yeah, and I don't blame you.
Yeah, I don't trust her.
She's very, she's a presence for sure.
Yeah, she's manipulative.
And she could be very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was manipulating the situation, though, when she does like apologize to Caleb. I think she truly meant that. She tells him that she was super jealous. Like, I had my best friend, and then Allison came in, and then we were good again, and then you came in, and I was jealous, and I didn't really, you know, I apologize for that. It was a really crappy thing for me to do, and this is when they have to start kissing.
But like, did she just want like a taste of goodness?
I don't know. Well, she's like, and then this Caleb?
Yes.
Oh my God, yes. I mean, she goes from like her type being like Noel Kahn
to like
wanting to kiss Caleb. So maybe.
I mean, but you know, once you are around Caleb,
yeah.
Swoon.
Yeah. Kate adds, like, they're literally parked on the street in Rosewood when anyone could have seen them, yeah, like, including mm-hmm. A. And then mm-hmm. Vic said that this is an unlikely pairing of Mona and Caleb. Who is the most unlikely pairing you think we would see on the show?
Oh, kitty cat. Niles, he wants to chime in about that.
Mm-hmm.
The most unlikely pairing.
Like, there could be so many.
Maybe, like, Byron and Melissa.
Byron. Okay,
let's that'd be really weird.
That would be weird and unnecessary. That would be an unlikely pairing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of who else. Because, like, at this point, like, I love Toby with Spencer and I love Hannah with Caleb, but they're all still so young in high school that I think any one of them could hook be a up
pairing. Yeah.
You know.
Or just, like, you know, obviously I took it more as, like, friendship.
Oh,
I don't know. That's how I took it. Like, who would be an unlikely pairing as far as, like, friendship?
I don't know. That's a really, because I really can picture any of these guys working with each other and being yeah. friends with one another.
Yeah, same.
I keep going back to Lucas and putting him with Me too. I keep going back to Lucas. Lucas and Hannah, that was an unlikely pair. Lucas and Caleb was an unlikely pair, but they
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was thinking maybe like Noel and Caleb, like they Noel hate each other. Caleb.
Yeah.
So that would be mm-hmm. unlikely that they would want to hang out.
Yeah.
Or like Jenna and Caleb or.
Oh, yeah.
Like. Jenna and Allison. Or Allison with anyone, truly.
Allison with
she
anybody.
Was always mm-hmm. on top. But yeah, that's fun.
Mm.
OK. And lastly, Aria. So they're waiting for the other shoe to drop because Byron's out of town. Ella is like semi accepting of this situation. And it's only a matter of time before something's going to happen. So in this episode, Ezra says, like, the dean's like a little frosty with me. He's not really happy about my decision to not take the position that was so kindly offered to me, even though I don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Aria heads over to her mom's classroom to leave her a note, and there she sees the application for a boarding school in Vermont
where Byron happens where to be.
Yep. And they are going to send her transcripts over, and so she's so beyond pissed when she gets home, and Ella's like trying to calm her down, but Aria's like, I don't understand how you think I would react to this situation.
Right,
you're sending me off to wherever, and like, this is so beyond unfair. And
I mean, Ella's, I agree.
Yes. But then Ella's valid point for me is like, you're being bullied. However, like, I know you're being bullied.
Yeah. And I
need
help
to get you.
You
out of that mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about with Michelle, like, even if she was homeschooled, like, she's still living in the town of Rosewood. Unfortunately, this bully could still find her there.
Yeah.
So they really want their logical explanation was like, let's get her out of here. However, yeah. I mean, like, kind of want to discuss this with your kid first.
Yeah. And I don't blame Aria for the way she's acting, because I feel like I would react the same way.
Right, like, how dare you?
You don't even discuss this with me. I have my own life here. And of course, like, the Ezra on top of it all.
Right.
I think Ella's coming from the place of, I want to protect you. And Byron is still like, you need to get away from my daughter, which everybody right. is valid in their feelings.
Right. And Aria does say that. She's like, I know you're probably going in with good intent, but Dad's definitely not.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then she really backfires and tells her that she could get Baron fired because of the Meredith situation, and like, don't think I won't do it. And Ella's like, what? Like, wow. Disgusted by her child. And then the next day, Ella's like, look, we're taking that off the table. However, I don't even know who you are, basically. Like, the fact that you would throw your family like under the bus like that is so repulsive to me, and I'm so devastated to hear this, that like, we are beyond fixing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So that's awful. And then Aria heads home, and I shouldn't say home. She heads to Ezra, who she's surprised to see him there because it's like the middle of the day. And he's like, yeah, I got off early because they fired me. I literally lost my job and my last class is on Monday. So like, I really am shit out of luck now.
So he got fired
because mid-semester.
Because he didn't take the job?
It's unclear. I just want to make sure
I understood that correctly.
Yeah.
He got fired because he turned down another job. Is that correct?
I guess, right. Or, you know, Byron kind of like said the word, not obviously about what had happened, but like maybe he doesn't trust yeah. Ezra, whatever it is. And like the dean took that into consideration.
Huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Ezra said, oh, they'll just hire someone who Byron likes. But we don't really have like any justification as to why he was fired. And again, it's mid-semester.
Up, actually. It's pretty messed
And his
up.
Last class is on Monday. Like that would never happen. And they're like, oh, they'll probably change the name of the course. It's like, that doesn't make any sense, but okay.
So at this point, do we know what month it is?
No, I don't.
It's got to be spring, right?
It's got to be like March, April.
Okay, so
March-ish.
I would hope.
If our timeline from the beginning was correct, it would be like March.
So we're going to, I'm thinking we're ending this season with the school year.
Okay.
I would think. I won't hold my breath. I know that has nothing. I'm just like doing math that doesn't need to be done.
Mm.
Okay, so Ezra's fired
and he's SOL and doesn't know what his backup plan is. He says, my only thought is maybe moving in with my parents again and like sending out a bunch of resumes and like hounding people and doing cold calls because I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in my memory, and I don't think it was ever confirmed yet, but in my memory, I'm pretty sure his parents live in Connecticut. That's just my memory. I could be absolutely incorrect about that. I don't think they live in Pennsylvania. I think maybe he went to school in Hollis and just stayed in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So to Arya, this is beyond the end of the world. It is beyond the end of the world. And I have an image from Kate. I have two Arya images here. Okay. Well, if you're on visual, it's Arya literally raging from the talk with her mother, and her and Ezra, everything comes up teenage petulance. Fuck it if I can't have him. So like, love it so much.
Wow.
If you know, you know. Like this is Arya. She is literally teenage petulance. Like this is her. I love how much this like relates to Arya and Ezra. So Ezra and Arya, I don't know if they don't realize they can still make this work. I'm confused. Well,
I took it as I have to go find a job because I can't live like this. I need to move back with my parents. And if said parents are in Connecticut,
it's a little far.
It's a little far. And we're going to have to take a little hiatus. And then she's like, they're lucky to have you, whichever job you get.
That was a mature thing to say.
And he's like, I love you so much. Let's do it.
And then they do it.
They do it, y'all.
Yeah.
They make Lerv. Okay.
Whatever. Like literally, that's all I have to say about that. I have no comment because whatever. Do you. I'm supposed to be over that, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I love that Mike says in an alternate dimension, Arya would go to boarding school in Montecito. And that's how she becomes Caitlin's roommate. OC reference.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then when all is said and done, our last final scene is A coming to the doll repair shop to give Martha her pay.
Yeah.
And to give little Seth his lollipop.
For doing a good job.
Yeah. And Martha's like, it's a mess. Like, I didn't realize how messy my store was going to be. But when she sees the cash, she's okay with it.
That was a thick envelope.
It was. Oh, okay. Like, how's he getting this cash?
How is he getting the cash? Yeah. Wow.
The marination. We just have to do the marination now. We're going to marinate and we'll be right back. All right, so we thought about maybe giving you a little bit of a breadcrumb, if you will, again, about our summer programming. So our first episode will be released on June 26th. So we're keeping a Wednesday schedule.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's all for now.
More to come. We're getting a kick out of what you guys are thinking. Mike was entertaining. He was like, seven episodes, seventh heaven. Michelle's seventh always wanted heaven. To do a seventh heaven episode podcast.
Seven Harry Potter books.
There's seven seasons in PLL. LOL. Like the thought process of that.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. Stay tuned for what we're planning. PLL content is coming for the summer while we're on hiatus between seasons 2 and 3.
Yes. All right, so I'm going to give you some ice cream for this week. Lucky Leon's ladle is Nestle's Strawberry Shortcake Bars. Oh, so good. Creamy vanilla with a sweet strawberry center and irresistible strawberry shortcake crumb coating. Strawberry shortcake, while being a tasty dessert, is also a type of doll. A doll that is 1,000 times less creepy than any of the dolls in that store. I'd rather be in a store filled with desserts than dolls. Also, strawberries are mentioned in the opening line of Watermelon Sugar, which represents Arya and Ezra finally doing the deed. Hopefully, there is nothing short about it. I give this episode 4 scoops. The fly scene at the end is iconic.
Agreed. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michael.
Yeah.
Or not speaking of Michael. I actually have an A email that I like to read. And then... Actually, you know what? What I'm going to do first is I'm going to play you all of my A emails. So if you're on visual, you'll want to check it out.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one was in October 26th, the first time we came back. It was our faces plastered on an image. And the subject was, I'm back, bitches. And now that you're back, I'm back as well. You didn't really think Kate was me, did you? That was the first email. Then we got other emails as the months progressed. So if you're on visual, you'll see. Okay. What's this? No more emojis? Well, I have one for you. And no, it's not. This podcast is fire, so you should listen to it. And it has 7. I don't know if that's the meaning of, which is weird. 7, Michael.
Well, 7 seasons?
Maybe 7 seasons. 7 fire flames. Then the next one's about Thanksgiving, which was in December. It was November 16th. And then the next one was December, which was about stuffing and surprise bitches.
And that was the one where Seth was like, this one makes so much sense. Wasn't he like, right.
And then the next episode, we got an email that was us in jail. You know, there was some weeks that we didn't get emails or voicemails. And on the next slide, I do have the voicemails. There's no pattern. There's no pattern. These are the ones from April, the ones about Jose and like all of the European adventures and being on vacation. And what I noticed about all of these emails.
Yeah.
They were all sent around 7:30 p.m. EST.
So when we're watching.
On those Thursdays. I did also get one earlier today, which was not 7:30. But this is all the voicemails. The voicemails I didn't take into consideration as much because
yeah,
I feel like they were just adding break time, which is great for us. Like I don't know if they necessarily had clues in them.
Right.
You know, it was just kind of like secrets and lies and like a theme to the episode. You know, don't go anywhere, Betty's. Like, listen, Michelle will be right back. Like, we appreciate those and love those very much. And then the last one of the voicemails was for our birthday. And then we had one today that was sent. And A says, nice try. Did you really trace the IP address? I've been leaving breadcrumbs throughout my travels. You should come meet me at where I end up. Oh, right. That's right. You'd have to know who I am first. Never mind. Better luck next time. By the way, Jose is not A. He's just a sweet guy I met during my vacay. And trust me, it wasn't at a gas station. No one is A. I'm A. Stay thirsty, bitches.
What?
What's with the drinks? The Dos Equis, the chocolate.
The flat white.
The flat white.
Stay thirsty. Come meet me. The gas station.
Well, because remember when I did the IP address, it led to a gas station. It seemed. In California. And like A does talk about in the emails about how, you know.
Yeah.
Haha. Yeah, I'm sure I'm in California kind of thing.
Right. Like I really hope you reveal yourself next week. A. We're going to be live. If you're into that, you can check out all the details on our patreon.com/TotalBettyPodcastNetwork. Mm-hmm. We hope this season's A reveals themselves.
That would be such a nice gift. And if not, whatever, it's still fun. But it would be fun to have a finale with something revealed.
Imagine, right? We have an A last season, they're revealed. We have A this season, they never reveal themselves, and then it doesn't continue. That would drive me crazy.
Oh my God. Don't even say that. Now they're going to do that.
That would be torture. and then like season 7, we find out and we're old and gray haired on rocking chairs because it'll take forever to get there and be like, hey, who?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. don't do that. Please reveal yourself.
Right. Don't do that. Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. Now I'm going off on a tangent. Like, obviously, when we did Treehole Talk, that was 9 seasons. We did double up in the beginning, so it would have taken us much longer. But that took us 3 years to do.
That's true, yeah.
And then Gossip Girl was 6 seasons. That took us, like, 2 years to do, right?
I think so. I honestly imagine,
you know, we're already a year down. We got another year to go. That doesn't seem right.
No, that's not right.
That's not right at all.
Unless we start doubling up or doing 2 episodes a week.
No, that's not right at all.
Yeah, that's not right. That math is not right.
That's math and it's not mathing. So I'm just going to throw it out there. It's not Mike and it's a female.
So you don't think it's an A team?
I still think it's an A team, but I think who's like the main player this season is a female.
Why do you think that?
I just don't.
It's your gut feeling?
Yeah, like. It seems to me the pattern of how every, like, all the voicemails are the same pattern. And then all the emails to me pretty much, besides the last few, seem like it was the same type of pattern. Like, these last international European adventure type emails are really throwing me off. Like, I would love to know the inspiration.
It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Right, like,
what is the inspiration for that? And if you don't tell me who you are, that's fine. But, like, give us maybe an explanation of like why you decide. Like, I get you're on vacation.
Yeah. That would actually be good. Like, if you don't want to reveal yourself,
just give us like a clue. Can you give us like something?
What was the inspiration for this season?
Right.
But you can keep to yourself.
Right. Like, without giving away too much if you don't want to do it.
Is it still the same email though?
A from Rosewood, PA.
That was Kate's email?
That was Kate's email. So it has to be a patron.
Okay. Kate passed the torch.
She passed the torch to someone else.
Torch.
How did you pass the torch? Were you approached?
They might not tell us.
Yeah. You know what would be fun? If maybe we could get confirmation from Kate of how this went down. You don't have to reveal who they are, but maybe how they took on the role from you.
Yeah, I would like that. That's something all. Next week. Just tell something. Us for our finale. Just a little
something for our finale episode.
Gift, please.
Yeah, we would love. We would love that.
Yeah.
MVP and shittiest.
Yes, I have an MVP.
You have an MVP.
Yeah.
For some reason, this season, I can't get together.
I MVP think and shittiest. Your MVP. I think if you think about it, the MVP is
quite obvious. Is Jenna?
It's Jenna.
I figured you would say
she's
that.
She had a great episode.
She had a wonderful episode. Again, was she like? She's the MVP because of like she literally tricked everyone.
Yes.
And then the fly scene. That is...
Yes, she is MVP this week. She had a great episode. Amazing. Shittiest, on the other hand, I'm struggling a bit.
I mean, like, even though like, Mona apologized, she did irk me a bit.
Yeah.
Hannah was like, hey, let's just keep throwing it at Melissa. Like, Hannah is a little...
Headstrong.
Pushy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Arya's pretty shitty for what she said about Byron, but she just was like in the heat of the moment.
Right.
You know, I'm being threatened, so let me threaten the person who's trying to take me down.
Yeah. There's no one that's like super shitty in my mind. I kind of understand why everybody's acting the way they're acting.
Yeah. Same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mike said we should change this to a creepometer instead of a cringe meter. So are you like high 10 creeped out?
No, I'm like a 7.
A 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe an 8 a little bit. But this is probably the most...
Scared you've been. Like, jumpy.
Most jumpy creeped out of a BLL episode.
Yeah.
Thus far that you can think of, right?
Absolutely. And then obviously there will be more. And like...
Yeah.
I've teased like Halloween is huge in the show. So like the Halloween episodes kind of have a creepy vibe to them. And
yeah, I mean, but that's to be expected almost. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting a random episode like this. Like,
no, there's definitely
is next week creepy?
Next week is like jam packed. No, like balls to the wall. Like there is not one moment of like slowing down. Like everything is so fast paced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you will see a promo of it in just a minute. But awesome. I'm going to give you the title.
Okay.
Which is Unmasked.
Okay.
And this is the season finale, episode 25, season 2. I'm not going to give you a secret. I'm just going to play you the promo.
This week on ABC Family's All New Mondays, catch up with our Pretty Little Liars marathon. Then,
be there when the clock strikes midnight.
The spring finale, millions are dying to see.
Hello? We didn't come this far to give up.
Finally, A is revealed.
Oh my God. Hang up, no!
The Pretty Little Liars spring finale you won't believe. Monday at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC Family.
It looked like a Halloween episode, or is it just like a spring fling?
I will tell you, it's a masquerade ball.
Masquerade bar.
Masquerade bar.
Masquerade ball.
Masquerade ball.
Oh, wow.
So unmasked.
Yeah. So obvious. I feel like in Gossip Girl, when people were thinking people were people and they're not people, and then we're kissing people. Remember Gossip Girl?
Oh, yeah. Kiss and tell ball or whatever.
Yeah, with Nate and Jenny and Serena and
right,
all
like
that.
Even though it was obvious to us who everyone was.
Very. And remember we made the joke of like, I would know, you would know who I was.
Absolutely.
By the back of my head.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think a lot will be going on and people will be dressed like other people in disguise. Do I think A is revealed? No. I do not. I think that is a bunch of bull.
Oh, so this is like a red herring. Like they're like, we're going to pretend.
A is revealed. No, A is not revealed. Unless it's just like, burping here. Unless it's just Mona. Because I think Mona in a way is A because she's faking it. I don't think she's the main A.
Okay. I mean, like, what can I say to that? I don't know.
No, because like I think Mona's been trying to fit in with them. So she's been sending the fake messages signed as A. So I think maybe that'll be revealed. But Mona's not actually A.
I see. So yes. It's like a fake out.
Right. Right. Man, I'm excited.
It's a really good finale.
I am so excited.
It's a really, really, really good finale. A finale that goes down in PLL history, for sure. And I'm so incredibly excited for us to get here, because once we get here, I feel like we're smooth sailing again. Like, I don't know, we're just like,
what does that mean, we're smooth sailing?
You'll see what I mean next week. Like, it just will be in line and we can start season 3. Like,
okay,
because right. You know, things change, little things change. Like, once we get past this finale, then things will change again.
Imagine the thing that changes is Allison's not dead. Allison comes back to Rosewood. Haha, just kidding. I was A, just trying to have some fun. And now Allison has to live within Rosewood with Jason, knowing that, like, Spencer knows. Imagine if that's what it is.
Wait, so Allie is A?
Well, yeah, Allie's been fucking with them this whole time.
Okay, so Allie is A, and she's not dead, and she's been fucking with them.
Right.
And now she has to be, like, reacquainted into her life in Rosewood.
Right.
That would be epic.
Yeah, so maybe maybe that's what happens.
Okay. Wow. I can't wait to watch it. And we'll be live, obviously, for our patrons.
Yes.
So if you want to see us live recording this finale episode, head over to Patreon. The link is obviously everywhere, all over the description for the episode and in the YouTube comments. So join us, because it is so great. It's just so great. It's such a good finale. And like, that's coming for me. It's coming for me.
Yeah.
Like, low bar here. It's coming for me.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm always excited to finish
A season
of a show, because it's like, wow, look what we've accomplished.
We've accomplished 25 weeks of content, and then we're on to our summer programming, our PLL content podcast.
Yes.
Which will be revealed quite soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back for the finale. I'm so excited. And we thank you all for listening, for watching, and we will be back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to We Are Liars, a Pretty Little Liars podcast. You can email us at weareliarspod@gmail.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voice message or just say hi, we have a voicemail, 631-600-3916. If you haven't already and you're loving the show, please consider giving us a rating and review.
This has been a Total Betty podcast, produced and edited by Michelle Rubenstein and Alyssa Daly, music by Anthony Vacora.